Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo. Welcome to your preview of the big weekend fixture. Chelsea facing Asna in the Premier League. Of course, it's myself, Lou Benaventi.
It is myself, Daniel Childs.
And we're here to give you everything you need to know about the big game against Arsenal. I don't like saying their nickname anymore because of the connotation of Twitter. You really want to say we're going to play the Gooners? Like, I don't know how I feel about that anymore. Exactly. Like that,
for the Goons.
Stands, put them in the face because we're both like, oh, can't really say that anymore. But I mean, they are Goons. That is a very fair example. I mean, one of my favourite moments was Mikel Arteta storming off Sky last weekend. Is that I will not answer the question about the database. Is it me, or does he look a lot like Captain Scarlet?
The thing that always strikes me about Arteta is he looks like I can just constantly see Lego hair. Like, it's just, you know, he's got kind of Lego or kind of, do you know, in Ken in Toy Story 3, kind of like the plastic hair. That's always what I think. His hair just doesn't look real. It looks like know, you could clip it off and then put another hair like a, you know, it's too. There's just something off about it. It doesn't look natural, and I'm not accusing him of anything. Like, I'm not saying fair play, but it does look a little bit, as I say, Lego, in the sense that there's a compartment to it.
I mean, to be fair, if any hair transplant clinics do want to sponsor us, please do reach out to the chelseaecho@gmail.com, and we'll be back with you shortly. I don't need one. Dad doesn't need one, but we know several people who do. Several people also, you know, never say they want it and, you know, they don't need it and their hair's fine. As a man who's been in the hair industry for 3 years.
Jay McIntosh. Sorry, I've had a cough in old days. It's been...
vegan wanker, sorry. Oh, Jesus, that came out way too easily there. Apologies, guys. But, yeah, look. I do think, right, with Mikel Arteta, with his hair right, as like I said, I've been cutting hair a while now, so I know my way around, right? Obviously, when you cut someone's hair, you've got to sort of pull it up to make sure you get the right length, all that sort of stuff. He has the hair, which is just so thick that when you pull it, you have to, like, really yank it or, like, really get a clump of it to try and get it level. It is impossible. It's horrible. It's my least favourite type of hair to cut. I can't do it. Well, I can do it. I just don't like doing it. But, you know, he's someone who I don't understand his hair. But Arsenal out of the title race. No Kai Havertz to score against Chelsea, which is, I guess, is one thing we could definitely talk about. But we do need to talk about Chelsea beforehand. We do need to talk about, we can talk about how bad Arsenal are, but realistically, we need to talk about how me and Dan both nearly fell asleep at that game against Copenhagen. And another example of why me and Dan right now, quite frankly, want to kill ourselves watching Chelsea. I can't fathom it. I've got like a whole analogy, but I want to get your thoughts on it first.
Well, I said it in my voice note review. The most entertaining part of the Copenhagen game was the hot dog I had pre-game. And you have to set it out that the hot dog at Chelsea is in itself an almost perilous task. Like, you're asking, you know, for trouble, you know, at least in my experience. Mm. Since the old days when you used to have rollovers at Stamford Bridge, that was much harder. Rollovers were absolutely incredible. Peak. That's why, you know, football ended, really. Like, we could talk about the how Chelsea have declined, but the moment rollovers went out, I think Chelsea's decline began.
Do you know what we should do? I think when Imperial Wolf play a game, we need to get enough people down there so we can approach rollover to get rollover hot dogs at an Imperial Wharf game.
Rollovers were the best. But anyway, so whatever I've had kind of a few of the Chelsea, whatever they call them, hot dogs now in recent years. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, it's been average to below average quite consistently. So I was at a situation where I was in a rush to get to the ground, but I needed to have something to eat. Because if I didn't eat, I was just going to be going to bed with an empty stomach. And I couldn't sit through that football without something to eat. Mm. And I just sort of thought, let's go for the hot dog. Let's see how it goes. I was with Papa Childs, who had taken the seat next to me. And he was sort of saying, you know, is that thing still alive? And I said, I don't know if it ever was alive. And I was sitting, and I have to say that I could have.
Hearing that in his voice as well was fucking brilliant.
And I could have used a reference when watching Chelsea, to be honest. Was it ever alive? And to be honest, to be fair to that hot dog, and I have to say, the review of the Chelsea hot dog actually goes into the next day, because if the next day you're not sat on the toilet for most of it, then it's been a success. You're never going to get a good hot dog at Chelsea ever again. But no. The success is whether your body has been able to recover. And to be honest, it has at the time of recording. So I have to say the hot dog was adequate. It was, you know, I'm not sure how real it was. I think I also said to him, legally, I think this is food. I think they've just got it to a segment where it just goes over the threshold of being legally able to sell this food. So, but that was it. That's all I kind of remember from the game, to be honest. And it's not because I was drunk or anything. That's like the only thing when I did my voice note review, I was like, what am I going to, other than of course, Kane and Dewsbury Messi. Other than that, there was very little else to talk about, to be honest.
What I will say, I'm going to give some credit where it's due to the Chelsea food, because I met the guy who runs all of it with a mutual friend about 3 months ago, and I was talking to him about it. If you've been in the Matthew Harden lower, right, all I'm going to say is the food in there is actually really good. They've got the samosas that they have at Brentford and Fulham at one end, unbelievable. They're actually really nice. And then they've got like an Indian twist and a lot of food. So I had like chicken thighs and masala chips. It's really good. Really good. So, you know, it's not the end of the world. It is £14.50, which is something which does make you want to tear your eyes out. But having said that, swings and roundabouts, isn't it? You know, it's a situation where, you know, you're going to have to unfortunately pay through the nose at football games. So if I'm paying through the nose, at least I would have something relatively good. What used to be good, did you ever have, years ago when they did the roll as well, did you ever have the Shed End Burger?
I don't think I ever had the Shed End Burger.
The Shed End, but chicken, bacon, like fresh tomatoes, it's all made fresh. Oof. Oh, lovely. Really nice. And then also, they used to do a really nice steak and celery ale pie. Oh, my God.
To be fair, my brother has had pies at, in the East Upper before, and he said actually the pies are all right. So maybe I should, for the sake of the podcast, not for the sake of my wallet, I should probably, and maybe not for the sake of my stomach, I should probably review, because we need to find things to get interested in, to be honest. Like, we need to find ways to make, because all of these podcasts, unfortunately, we're going to get into a risky stage if it continues the way it is, of saying the same thing over and over again. So we need to find new twists. And I have to say,
does that mean that you're going to join the Notorious PIE, Dan? The group that me and a few lads started at the beginning of the season?
Maybe on loan. I have to say, I'm not fully pie yet, but we'll see how we go. Maybe in a year's time, I'll be fully pie. At the moment, I'm just...
Fully pie!
maybe I'm just... we're just kind of 10% there at the moment. We're just dipping our toes in, but it's just maybe we could give food reviews at the start of this podcast to give the listeners something else to think about that's maybe more entertaining.
Okay, we'll do that after. So for our next preview, me and Dan will basically we'll take it in turns. What we'll do, Dan, is I think we should review places along the Fulham Road and sort of like around Chelsea, so that if people want to go get some food before a game, because look, I'm not a massive drinker before the football. So I usually go get some food with some friends. We'll do a food review spot. We'll talk about that. Boom, shake the room. You found yourself somewhere to eat before a game if you don't want to go to the pub. But we do need to talk about Chelsea, unfortunately, and we do need to talk about that absolute, there's no other way of putting it, horror show of a game. Like you said, the hot dog was your thing. I came to the realisation, right, where... Let's be honest, growing up, you and I were very, very spoiled as Chelsea fans, right? We saw us win absolutely everything you possibly could. Having said that, Chelsea also got the results, which is what we're saying, but they also entertained. I realised yesterday, it was when the penny finally dropped, right? I am not just a results guy. I want the results, but if you don't get the results, you run it close and you're entertained, I'm also not against that. Right now, watching Chelsea is a chore. It's an absolute chore. And when people talk about Sarri, right, I'm going to say something extremely out of character for me and what a lot of people might disagree with it. Sarri, in comparison to Maresca, was like watching Mourinho and Sam Allardyce. You know, both right? They both got very similar style of football at certain points in their careers, right? But one was just absolutely fantastic with quality players, had this real sense about it that there was, you know, some football being played where you see Hazard do some amazing moves or you see Willian or Pedro do something a little bit exciting, right? What we're seeing now is what I called party, party, bang, bang in 2019. This is an upgraded version. This has taken all of the joy out of football and I absolutely despise it. And we need to have joy in football. That's why people play it. That's why people watch it. You didn't start watching football as a kid to go, well, the XG was expected to be this in this position and our wide forwards are playing in these exact roles. No, you watched it because, oh, I like the shirt he's wearing. I like the boots he's wearing. He did something cool. I like this. This is amazing. I want to stick with that. That's the joy of football. And it's been completely taken out of it. It is so robotic. It is so one-dimensional and almost like monochromatic is what I'd want to describe it as. It's just so boring. And I can't deal with it anymore, Dan. I'm you could say, yeah, we're getting the results. Yeah, you're grinding it out. That's what you want, surely. But I just don't see any of these players actually improving and technically becoming better and more exciting in the way that we're playing currently.
I think there's obviously a lot that goes into that. I have to say, I am curious. Is that a new character voice, like commentary voice, you're giving a little bit of a pilot, a test run in the podcast? We got Simon McGovern, what? And then we had the... You were definitely doing a voice. I don't know what voice. I have to say, though, when I would think of like the Tactico voice, I would not think of that. But to be fair, it's a creative choice. I back your creative choice.
I mean, a Tactico voice could also...
Okay, out. Yes. There we go. That's more suitable for Tactico.
I personally think Jorginho is fantastic in the half space. So let me just... sip my home brew. Oh, it's fantastic. Great. I've got a tote bag and a dog called Tarquin. Go fuck yourself, mate. Football! That's what it's about! Bush! Bang! Wallop! Crash! Yeah, carry on. Continue.
Anyway, as I was saying... it could do with some work. It's an interesting character. But anyway, we're talking about Chelsea, right, and kind of everything that's going on at the moment and the frustration that's clear inside Stamford Bridge. And I think there are kind of multiple disconnects currently. There is a disconnect between the match going, I think it's fair to say a majority of match going fans in terms of like just not really connecting or emotionally connecting with stuff at the moment. But then also there's a disconnect then between that vibe and I guess it feels like the online vibe. The problem is with the online Chelsea sphere is that I'm not going to do a wrestling reference because you won't get it. I'm trying to think of a reference that's more relevant, like something that they turned. It is like the British weather, right? Like on Sunday, it's really nice and you think that the weather's turning and then literally within 24 hours, it's freezing again. A couple of weeks ago online, it was all Clear Lake of rubbish. The ownership's rubbish, that Maresca should have more criticism. And as usually is the case with online, you get a reaction to the reaction. So now I've seen almost comically levels of positivity where like people have gone like flipped again, where it's gone back round the other way, where now everything's amazing. Everything's wonderful. How dare anyone question it? So I have to wonder whether we're going to flip back after Sunday to another version. But there is, I just don't, I was, me and my dad were having this conversation, right? And I've had this conversation with people who have discussed, because let's just move on to the atmosphere. Can we move on to the atmosphere? Because what is there in the game to
absolutely
actually discuss?
Absolutely. The atmosphere is just, yeah, you go.
I have to say, a low point, a low point was hearing the Copenhagen fans talking trash to us with our own songs. And I'm please don't take this as a like a Brexit phrase, but like in our own language. And I just, me and my dad looked at each other and we're like, yeah, this is a real low point. And I looked at my group chat and it was also, could you imagine us going away to Copenhagen and singing in Danish to them in their songs? That's what he was saying to me. I was like,
can I be honest? I grinned when I saw that because I thought the Copenhagen fans were absolutely spectacular.
Oh, they were wonderful. Yeah, they were amazing. They were brilliant. It. Like, I had no beef. And it's not like, it just, but you kind of do sit there and go, it does feel bland. It does feel turgid. And
yeah,
there is an atmosphere problem at Stamford Bridge. There has been for a very long time. I maintain in the current moment, I think it's more of a distraction being used to scapegoat and point the finger in directions away from people who are actually responsible. Because me and my dad's obviously been watching Chelsea a lot, like I'm sure like your dad, right? Like watching Chelsea a lot longer than we have, and saw Chelsea when they were like objectively in a worse place. Not just like we don't like the style of play, even though we're still in the Premier League. Like objectively we're in a worse place. But even he was like, especially that first half, what is there to engage people? What is there? People go, it's your responsibility as a supporter to turn up and back the team, which I understand. And I to an extent agree with that. But the football emotionally, football is an emotional game. And emotionally, the football is, it's like kryptonite to your average football supporter. It's far too intellectual. It's far too sterile. There's not, I don't know how, as a supporter, you're supposed to engage when I look at that pitch and I see absolutely no movement from the players in possession. They're all just quite static in their positions and sections of the pitch they're being told to stand in. The passing at times is wayward. There's a lack of invention. I'm seeing at times quite exciting creative players look like they're overthinking everything they're doing because they've probably been coached out of doing anything risky. Again, there's no, those things I think people have to, if you think that the supporters should be doing more, and I don't completely disagree with you, but they have to meet us halfway. I can't believe anyone can seriously tell me they are watching Chelsea and have been watching Chelsea in recent months and seriously turn around and say Enzo Maresca is a coach and Chelsea as a club, whatever way you want to look at it, have done their best to put out a football team that makes people feel proud and makes people feel engaged as they were at the start of the season. Because there was, Maresca wasn't talking about the atmosphere in the first few months of the year, was he? Because the football was more electric. It was more alive. There was a sense of unpredictability about the team. There was a sense of energy and electricity within that stadium that I thought there was something there to build on. Unfortunately, it's very quickly gone downhill. But I just don't know how this football. I also just, maybe you give a counter argument if you can. I don't understand the blind faith in Enzo Maresca. I just don't, and this is not me saying I think he's destined to fail and I think it ain't gonna work out and there's nothing he can do to salvage the situation. I just find the blind trust in him really weird. But there just seems to be, from some people, kind of just a acceptance that, well, it's definitely gonna get better. And I don't know where that comes from.
I don't know if it's an acceptance where people are going, it is going to get better. I think it's an acceptance because it has to get better. And I think very much it's a case of, Tom O'Brien made a very good point when he came on the Final Score show in the reverse fixture. And he was saying, well, he's getting results. We want to be in the Champions League. That's the target, right? And I'm like, well, yeah. Said, well, that's what we're currently on a trajectory to do. So why are you so upset about it? And okay, well, yes, I get that. But I agree with you, it has to be halfway. I didn't like over the past couple of games when he said the fans need to get behind us more. It's like, give us something to get excited about. You said football's an emotional game. You want to see a Noni Madueke, a Cole Palmer, a Christopher Nkunku. These players, which we saw last season, have these, these skills in their locker where they've got people up off their seat. You know, football is very much. It's something where you want to get up, be amazed and wowed and thinking, oh my God, that's amazing. This is what you pay for. You pay to see these amazing players entertain you, and football needs to be entertaining. However, it's really hard to strike the balance of the best of both worlds, because unless you have players of an elite caliber, and I'm talking absolutely out of this world, sort of blowing teams away week in, week out, and it's just not something which is entirely plausible, I think. You know, we saw it at the beginning of the season. That was where you had the balance and the nuances of Pochettino's remnants of his system and Maresca bedding his one in. Now it's very much a case of going, like you said, the football's electric then. Now it's just tap, 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 trying to carve out an opportunity. And it was embarrassing that come the 35th minute, Chelsea hadn't had a shot on goal. Copenhagen had four. Chelsea were at home. You want to talk about getting the fans behind you. You want to give the fans something to shout about. Have a shot. Have a go. Go for it. Because if you go for it and there's something that happens, you can get people going. Yeah, it might go wrong. People might moan. But at least you're getting a reaction at this point. Because at a rate, basically, at the minute, having no reaction is what you're looking at Chelsea. What was even more embarrassing, by the way, was the entire middle tier on the West and the East stand was derelict. It was empty. I've seen more people in Chernobyl. It was something where, I don't know, like the atmosphere just is, there's nothing right now which gets people excited. But what I think the marketing team and the PR team thinks was getting a DJ at half time. No, not a DJ. Just actually give us some good football to begin with. Get the basics right first. Because I granted as well, by the way, Enzo Maresca doesn't have all the tools in his arsenal right now. But if he doesn't have all the tools in his arsenal, you don't want to just see a really diminutive Pedro Neto sort of like just stick his head out and sort of be like, right, I'm going to get the ball down the middle here. So no, you need to have somebody who can actually collect it. If you can't do that, okay, let's be a bit more direct. Let's play balls over the top. Do you know who's been doing that? His fucking big boss, the person who he looked up to for so many years in Pep Guardiola. Guardiola's there saying, right, we're going more route one now. That's it. We're like 2 years behind them. So when their football was working, it was great. Everyone was after it. Now no one wants to be more direct.
Well, and also the big thing is that Pep had the best players in the world, as you just said. I think this is a style of football that requires excellence across every segment of the team in some way. Mm. And I think that's a bit of just a flawed strategy. Like I think it just is a little bit insulting intelligence if you're a coach that your system requires the greatest players ever to make it work. To me, it doesn't really say much about the depth of your coaching. But just quickly, just before we move on to the Arsenal game, Matt Law said something interesting where, and I think it's a good point, right, that despite whatever you think about Chelsea's atmosphere, the club themselves, and you bring up the corporate seats that were empty. I mean, I bet most of them were probably at Cheltenham this week. But these clubs are, especially the top Premier League clubs, are upselling and looking for a more expensive ticket to be sold. Like we look at is it the dugout club at Chelsea, I think they call it now, where it's, you know, you're paying over 1,000, probably even more than that for certain seats. I'm sure that's replicated in most of the big teams. And Matt Law made the point that, you know, it's there's a conflict here. There's, I'd call it an hypocrisy between these clubs, their coaches having a go at supporters and having a go at the support inside grounds. And isn't it bad how Premier League support is compared to some other leagues in Europe, when these clubs are the ones who really, if we're just being bluntly honest, like a business wise, are chasing a market of consumer, I'm going to call them, that is not going to bring that to a better place. And when people talk about needing a new stadium and wanting a new stadium, I can tell you Clear Lake, the way Clear Lake would want to sell that stadium is to get more of the £1,000 seat people in than the people who would, like We Are The Shed, who organized the singing section in the Shed Upper last night. I think, you know, those are the sort of things that you want to see as solutions to maybe bring some atmosphere back to Stamford Bridge. So I think people need to comprehend that as well, that it's all right to turn around and constantly, there's some accounts I see that just literally all they do is just, and maybe you could accuse me of the same at the hierarchy at the club, but like literally everything they say is about having a go at the fans. I find that very weird. I don't know how you logically look at something like this and the people you put first in your responsibility for the failings at the club are in many ways the last on the list in terms of who should be held accountable based on like the football team, the coaching, the players, and more importantly, the ownership, the people who've assembled this squad. So I think there's again, a lot there that I think just frustrates me and probably in many ways why you have the disconnected atmosphere you do currently, because whatever it reflects about wider English football, which I think it does, I think it also reflects 2025 Chelsea in many ways.
No, it absolutely does. And it's, we're slowly beginning to live the, do you remember the World Cup 2014 Nike adverts where it was all the animated ones and it was like,
oh, yeah,
perfect that player who doesn't make any mistakes. That's literally what we're building, and football's becoming boring and repetitive. So hopefully something will change.
I know we're a little bit short on time today, but I have to say I loved that. That animated video was...
They were good. They were good.
Summer 2014. Diego Costa had just arrived.
Oh, it was... That was the best.
That, I think, sexy time.
That was the best year. Finishing your GCSEs in time for the first kickoff in the World Cup. Like, you finished 11 o'clock. I finished 11 o'clock the opening day. I was back home watching the telly, watched the whole World Cup. Beautiful. We'll have to do an Espina Styles trips, me and Dan. We'll have to go through all that with some of you guys, and we'll get some guests on for that. I think that'd be good to sort of go full nostalgia. Jay McIntosh, you'd definitely be good for that. If you respond to mine and Dan's text, because, you know. Actually, before we move on, Dan, I've got a bone to pick with you. Why'd you cheat on me?
Oh, come on.
You cheated on me. No, come on.
It's not really cheating. I've been on that podcast for years.
Oh, so that's okay, is it? So basically, yeah. You've been on that podcast for years, so you can just go back whenever you want. Is that what this is, yeah? Is this relationship not serious to you?
Well, I have to say, I only go back there every 3 months. Like, it's not a weekly thing.
Just a quick one there. That's a section which I'm just going to clip up for Dan's fiance to say, pre-warning, be careful, and we'll leave it at that, and we'll see what happens. Anyway, Arsenal, Chelsea facing the Gooners. Oh, God, I still can't get my head around it. Arsenal facing Chelsea facing Arsenal at the Emirates on Sunday. A big game for Chelsea. One which I think me and Dan, should we just rip this off like a plaster? You've got a loss chalked up this, right? Because I have as well, right?
I think, honestly, yes. I think there's a part of me that would like to think a draw or maybe a dream. You sit there and think maybe just the football gods. It's got to turn around at some point in one of these big games. But all the evidence and all the performances and all the record in these games would not give you a Chelsea win. Not necessarily a Chelsea loss, but it would not give you a Chelsea win. And again, you can accuse me of being negative, but I don't know who can confidently sit there and tell me we're going to go walk into the Emirates on Sunday and win. What evidence over the... You have to go back to 2019, the last time we went to that stadium and won.
Do we have any like big positivity merchants around us at the Echo? I don't think we do. The thing is, the one thing...
Score's been dragged down by Clear Lake as well, which I just... when you get people who are more positive at the start of the season, and I've seen them like be beaten down by it, I have to say, it kind of tells you everything. No, I don't think we do. I think most people at best will think a draw. I was speaking to someone yesterday, they said, a draw, but I think we'll probably lose. So it's not... I don't think many people are going to walk into Sunday's game thinking there's going to be much to celebrate, unfortunately.
No. And that's the gutting thing about it. But, we'll just see what happens. I mean, look, we'll jump straight into it. We'll go into the Echo 11, and that will obviously be how we preview the game, realistically, looking at what Chelsea are facing up against in Arsenal. Goalkeeper. Sanchez,
have you seen Maresca's? Maresca has said that Sanchez is now the first choice again. Have you not seen that?
No, I thought that was just a one-off.
No, he's basically come out and said now, I wanted to give Rob a bit of a rest. Now he's first choice again. So I'm picking Philip Jorgensen for this game.
Philip Jorgensen in goal. Absolutely. That's the echo pick. Left back is Marco Correa. Two centre-halves. This is where it could get interesting. Because I thought Tosin looked all right. And I don't want to start Wesley Fofana at right back.
No.
But do you start him at centre-back with Levi Colwill and risk him just being torn to shreds again? But then again, Arsenal don't currently have a striker. I back it. I'm going Colwill for Fofana.
Yeah, no, I was going to go Colwill for Fofana as well. They're both fit. Let's play them in a big game and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go for that. You've got Cole Farner. Reece at right back, I think, is a given because we have no Malo Gusto. Midfield three, Caicedo, Enzo Fernandez, Cole Palmer. It's self-explanatory. It's picking itself. The front three. Right, Dan, what do you do with that front three? Give up hope?
I think it will be Sancho, Neto and Nkunku. That's who I think, because I just, Maresca just, in many ways, his teams can become quite predictable, especially in the Premier League. Nkunku's really disappointed me. Nkunku, like, that's one of the more depressing parts because he's got his run in ways in the first team and he's done absolutely nothing with it. He has been non-existent. And
can I offer a counterpoint to that, though?
What is the counterpoint?
I think a lot of it is down to the system. If you put Cole Palmer on the right-hand side, you play two eights and a six, where Nkunku kind of drop that little bit deeper. Cole Palmer could float in from the right. You'd have Pedro Neto maybe floating in from the left, for example. I think you'd see a much more balanced team. But he doesn't want to play that system. I think Enzo Maresca is very much, this is my system, this is how I'm playing it, like it or lump it, which I respect to a certain extent. But also I sit and I go, why do you do that to yourself? That's what I don't get.
Yeah. No, I agree there, Rob, that we have misused Christopher Nkunku. And I can imagine maybe his psychology and his confidence has been drained a bit, where for the first half of this season, he was just used as an understudy, which is not why he came to Chelsea. And then during January, from what we understand, he could have left, you know, in that window. So he was kind of surplus to requirements. And maybe there's already been internal conversations that make it clear that he won't be here beyond the summer. So maybe he's already mentally a bit checked out of Chelsea. And I don't think that's the greatest thing, but I also just think there are things about his performance that just annoy me. I think, you know, it's not like when he gets the ball, he's not that electric. There have been moments where he could have done more in individual moments. I never want to completely alleviate the responsibility of players, their own actions. I think there's always a balance between a system that a coach is implementing and the flaws of that system, the pros of that system, but then also the players themselves. And I just think that, you know, given how to criticize someone like João Félix, right? I think that, you know, Nkunku at times has been doing quite a good impression of João Félix over the past few weeks. And that's why I'm giving him a lot of criticism, because I expect so much more from him. In terms of a front three, I'd be very excited if I saw Tyrique George be given a start. I don't know why you wouldn't start Tyrique George based on form and based on like output. I just can't see who else goes in that spot other than, I just think he'll go, I think Sancho will start. But again, I hear a lot about Sancho, but I have to say, his performances are not that good. He's not an impactful player at the moment. I don't see what people are seeing.
I don't think the team is impactful at all at the top end of the pitch.
No, of course it's not. But who else? That's the issue, right? And then the reason I'd give Tyrique George is because Tyrique George, I think, why hasn't he been given an opportunity in a Premier League start compared to others when others have failed? That's my argument. I'm not saying that I didn't think Tyrique George was actually that good against Copenhagen. I thought he held onto the ball for too long, made some really poor decisions. But why shouldn't he start over others? If we're talking like Sancho hasn't been performing that well, Neto looked a bit lost against Copenhagen, Nkunku's been doing very little. So that'd be my... And George is at least a natural winger. So, you know, if you're talking between Nkunku and George is at least a natural winger. And in this game, it is going to be more what I deem a transitional game for Chelsea. I hope.
Well, I mean, you'd like to think so, but unfortunately, transitional play isn't something that's in Enzo Maresca's vocabulary. So, realistically, we'll get the ball, we'll stop the ball, we'll knock it about. This game is either going to be Arsenal going to turn us over, or it's going to be the dullest 0-0. I can't see an in between. I just Arsenal have got a striker. They're looking, you know, maybe not at their best at the minute. Chelsea, we're grinding out results, but we're not grinding out results against big opposition. So that's going to be interesting to see how we fare in this game. But for me, it's just not something where I look at this Chelsea side at the minute and I go, yeah, this we've got something here. There's something special. When the reality is, there is something special. It's just how the team is set up isn't actually right at the minute. The incessant need to constantly just have underlapping, you know, fullbacks coming in and the whip down and coming from the wingers and not having that option just for teams to go forward and really push people on. I don't know. But, you know, something's got to give eventually. We'll have to see what it is. And me and Dan will be there to find out what it is. But we'll go through the Echo 11 one more time. So, Philip Jorgensen in goal.
Yeah.
Kukurea, Levi Cole, Wesley Fofana and Reece James make up the back four. Midfield three of Moises Caicedo, Enzo Fernandez, Cole Palmer, and a front three of Christopher Nkunku, Pedro Neto, and do you want to throw... I'll let you throw George in there. Do you want to put Tyreek George in there?
Yeah, let's put Tyreek George in there.
Right, I'll put Tyreek George on the left-hand side. But that has been the Chelsea Echo. That has been your preview of the Arsenal game. Is there anything we've missed, Dan? Anything else you want to touch on?
I don't think so.
No. We need to find a way to make this more entertaining. We need to figure that out. We'll come back to you guys with something. Whilst Chelsea
That's just Chelsea at the moment. We need to find a way to make this more entertaining. Is the story of Chelsea's season.
Exactly. I think that's just going to be the title for the pod. We need to make this more entertaining. Mm-hmm. Chelsea versus Arsenal.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There's your pod. That's the title. That's everything else. This has been the Chelsea Echo. We hope you have enjoyed this preview of Chelsea's trip to Arsenal. If you are watching this, please make sure you hit a subscribe button down below. It really does help us out here with the Chelsea Echo podcast. There'll be more content coming to the channel once my life has sorted itself out. If you are listening to this on the Chelsea Echo feed on any good podcast platform, make sure you give us a 5-star review and make sure that you give everyone else you know about it, right? Everyone else you know needs to know about the Chelsea Echo, right? That needs to be a thing. Tell everyone about it. Tell your nan, tell your dog, tell your auntie, tell Dan's fiance that he's going to cheat on her with me by the sound of things because he does it every few weeks. That's going to happen apparently, according to Dan. His own words earlier. I'm not saying anything else other than that. But if you have enjoyed it, please do make sure you drop us a like, drop us a follow, all that good stuff on socials, and we will see you for the next preview and final score with the score. Take care of yourselves, guys. We'll see you later.